Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. In his being risen from the dead, Jesus has been clearly revealed as Lord, as Messiah, and as God's only Son. In our first reading, Peter, like in last week's reading, he reveals that though only a few people were directly responsible for Jesus' trial and murder, his death was required for the removal of guilt for all people's sin. And this news cut the accused to the heart, and rightly so. Can you imagine coming to the realization that you had played an active role in the murder of God's only Son? They saw him with their own eyes, with their own ears. They heard Jesus tell them that he was the Son of God. They saw the miracles that confirmed that, but they refused to believe. In all that aside, Jesus, he had done nothing else deserving of crucifixion, yet they pushed it through and saw to his death. Now all of a sudden, the reality of what they had done hit them like a ton of bricks. So in fear of God's wrath, they cried out, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Very simply, repent and believe. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And with that, the word of the law having done its work, Peter immediately speaks words of comfort, words of gospel, saying the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Wait a minute. The promise is for them? Did Peter forget who he was talking to? We often say that it is our sin that nailed Jesus to that cross. We believe that Jesus took on himself all of our sins when he was nailed to that cross, and that by his wounds we are healed. And this is most certainly true. Jesus' death on that cross was necessary that we might receive forgiveness of sins, and so you have. But was Peter serious? Was he serious about offering forgiveness to those who had actually condemned our Lord? As I pondered these things this week, two things came to mind. One was a question, and the other was an aha moment. First, a question. Has the enemy ever whispered in your ear or tempted you to say things like, or think things like, "Yeah, I know that God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself"? This is reality. Times of weakness, times of trouble and tribulation will come when all the things that we have learned in Scripture somehow seem like nothing more than a pious dream or something you might read on a gift card. But may I direct your attention to these men and women who actively saw to the death of God's own Son. Even to these men and women, repentance and forgiveness of sins and baptism was offered. And so as you wrestle with those things, with guilt, as you work through emotions and memories, be assured that God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. If you hear nothing else today, please hear that he has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. I need to call. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. That was bad timing, wasn't it? And the second thing I wanted to talk about, I found myself wrestling this week with that aha moment. If there were 3,000 people who actively saw to the death of Jesus, if those 3,000 people are the same people that actively saw to his death, shouting, "Crucify him," if they actually repented and were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, then that means that you and I will get to meet them in heaven. we will be spending eternity with them. And I often wonder, had they ever thought, I know God forgives me, Peter said so, but I just can't forgive myself. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? As Jesus reintroduced these things to these two men as they walked the Emmaus Road, if his reproof seems a little bit harsh, a little bit blunt, oh foolish ones, oh slow of heart, it's because they had not properly attended to what the prophets had spoken concerning the Messiah. I can almost hear Jesus saying, guys, where are you going? There's much more to do. Didn't I tell you it was going to go this way? Didn't the prophets say it was going to go this way? It's not over. It seems that first Easter, a lot of folks were struggling with the events of the cross, and it seems that they all dealt with it in their own ways. Some hid themselves in fear, as we read last week. Others, well, they simply threw up their hands and headed for home, feeling empty and disappointed. And as these were sorrowful, others rejoiced. For all they knew, these things, remember last week the words that Pharisee of Gamaliel spoke when they were trying to put Peter and the other guys in prison and even have them killed? For all they knew, these things of which he spoke and he predicted in last week's reading seemed to be going just that way. This man, Jesus, claimed to be somebody, and they found themselves among a number of men who had joined him. He was killed, and now those who followed Jesus began to disperse themselves, believing that it was all for nothing. But Jesus was just getting started. His church was just getting rolling. Jesus' death on the cross was not the end of something beautiful. It was the beginning of something beautiful. These men, having been with Jesus for quite some time, maybe not the whole time, but for quite some time, should have known better. And so Jesus met their disbelief with unmixed reproof. They, like most of Israel, had hoped that Jesus would deliver his people from Roman oppression, from Roman bondage, and establish a kingdom right there in the town of Jerusalem. But now their hopes were shattered. And as I studied this week, I found myself thinking to myself, things really haven't changed all that much. We who have the privilege of being on this side of the resurrection still long for the day when the Lord will redeem his people from tyrants who invade countries. We long for God's justice against those who displace families and communities. We long for God's justice against those who threaten to destroy entire populations. And we Christians pray, come Lord Jesus. Like these two men for whom the facts did not fit their hopes, we hope for the time when the Lord will establish his kingdom, his true kingdom, in the new heavens and the new earth. We long for the time when evil will be no more. As I ponder these things, I was reminded of a show that I watched when I was a kid in Southern California. It's a show called Dragnet. Dun, 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 dun. Remember that? Dun, 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 dun. I'd come around, I'd sit down, I'd watch the show, I'd tell my brothers and sisters, shh, we gotta watch this show. One of the things that first drew me to that program, when it came, one, it was that music, that theme music, but an image of the Los Angeles police or courthouse was displayed while that music was going on. And I remembered as a kid, as we would drive the freeways going to the swap meets and stuff like that, seeing that structure. So I thought, this show is pretty real. Maybe I should watch that. I was a kid, I didn't sit through most of all of the programs, but I remember something that stood out to me was there was a man named Joe Friday who always managed to see through the stuff and get to the truth. It was pretty easy to identify the bad guy. And he in that program, he made famous a phrase, just the facts, ma'am. just the facts. I saw you nodding your heads. You remember that show. For these men who walked the Emmaus Road, the facts were that Jesus had proven himself to be a prophet, mighty in deeds before God and before man. So they took a chance, and they hoped that he was the one. But as more facts began to pile up, their hopes began to fade. Fact: the one they had hoped would redeem Israel was condemned by the very people that he came to save. Fact: their own rulers and their high priest displaced, well, they delivered this Jesus over to a shameful death on a cross. If he came to save them and redeem them, why would they do that? It didn't add up. Fact: it was the third day since his death. Fact: some of the women among them went to the tomb, and they returned with some very disquieting news. And this is where their faith began to break down. The truth of the facts became relative for some of them. The facts didn't line up with their hopes. And when the facts don't line up with our hopes, we can become weighed down. We can be slow to believe what God says is absolutely true. The women had been to the tomb, and not finding the body, they returned with news of visions of an angel saying that he is alive. These things of which the women spoke, these were the facts. But it didn't line up with the hopes and dreams of these men, so they refused to believe. That's because they didn't have their facts straight. They believed that the Messiah, or a Messiah, would usher in God's rule, but they just couldn't accept that he would suffer, that he would die, and that he would rise again to make it happen. The men who walked the road longed for an earthly king. What God had established was his church on earth, founded, established, and centered on Jesus' death and resurrection, and protected by God's mighty right hand. And so when these men asked Jesus to stay with them, he saw an opportunity to help them get their facts straight. So he agreed. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to them just as he had done many times before. And it was an aha moment for them. And as soon as their eyes were opened, he vanished from them, from their sight. He vanished from their sight, but he was never far from them. He would follow them along. He was never far from them because he was rallying the troops. The troops had been scattered. His people were being scattered, and he was pulling them back together. And they rose that same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, hiding behind locked doors, as we had read last week. And they said to them, "The Lord is risen indeed." And there's the delayed response of the women's earlier declaration that he is risen. They told all that had happened on the road, and they told how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. In these things, evil men in our day, as in the days of the apostles, would do well to heed the admonishments of Gamaliel, as we read in last week's reading, to let God's people alone. For if the church's undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, which it is, you will not be able to overthrow her. And you might even be found opposing God. And so the men who walked the Emmaus Road that first Easter, they remind us that God's church, though he himself rearranges it every now and then, his church remains forever. We can find heaviness of heart when we see God's church under attack, and when we see doors closing, we see congregations displaced, and we wonder, is the enemy winning? No, the enemy is not winning. It is simply the Lord rearranging things because he loves us, because he has a plan. These men who walked the Emmaus Road remind us of that. Their world was turned upside down, but he met them where they were. With that in mind, I'll offer you a few more facts. Fact. Through his church, Jesus continues to meet people where they are, sometimes with unmixed reproof for unbelief, oftentimes with gentle encouragement, but always with the message of ransom, the message of ransom from the futile ways of man, always offering God's forgiveness. Fact, Jesus died on a cross. Fact, Jesus rose from the dead. Fact, all these things he did for the sake of you. As Peter has written, all flesh is like grass, and all the glory, all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God remains forever. Therefore, God's church remains forever. This is the message the Lord has given to us, his bride, the church. May we always boldly exclaim, just the facts, man. And the facts are, Jesus is Lord, and he is risen.
Hallelujah.
There we go. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I thought I was going to get that by you. Nice job. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.